chapter 9 of Bhagavad Gita, entitled The Most Confidential Knowledge, and we left off on text number 30. So everyone should follow along in the book. Api chet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadhur eva samantavya samyag vyavasato hisa. Synonyms: api, even, chet, if, sudarachara, one committing the most abominable actions. Bhajate, is engaged in devotional service. Mam, unto me. Ananya bhak, without deviation. Sadhu, a saint. Eva, certainly. Sa, he, mantavya, is to be considered. Samyak, completely. Vyavasita, situated in determination. He, certainly. Sa, he. Please repeat. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. So we must remember that this is being spoken by the topmost authority, Krishna himself. So even though we might on occasion think differently, we have to take Krishna's opinion as the most authoritative. Let's look at Śrīla Prabhupāda's purport to this verse. The word sudarachara used in this verse is very significant, and we should understand it properly. When a living entity is conditioned, he has two kinds of activities. One is conditional, and the other is constitutional. As for protecting the body, or abiding by the rules of society and state, certainly there are different activities, even for the devotees, in connection with the conditional life, and such activities are called conditional. Besides these, the living entity who is fully conscious of a spiritual nature and is engaged in Krishna consciousness or the devotional service of the Lord has activities which are called transcendental. Such activities are performed in his constitutional position, and they are technically called devotional service. Now that's what Prabhupada is saying here, is a very important point, because this also is evidence of a larger, more important question. What is the origin of the soul? Here, he's using the term constitutional. The constitutional position of salt has a certain nature. There's a constitutional position of sugar. There's a constitutional position of water. Everything has its constitutional position. Prabhupada's point here, the constitutional position of the soul is devotional service, which Prabhupada uses elsewhere in this discussion. about what is the origin of the soul. And on that basis, Prabhupada says, originally, the soul is in the spiritual world with a direct relationship either with Krishna or Narayan, because the constitutional position is one of devotional service. So this sentence is very significant. Let us continue. Such activities are performed in his constitutional position, and they are technically called devotional service. Now, in the conditioned state, sometimes devotional service and the conditional service in relation to the body will parallel one another. But then again, sometimes these activities become opposed to one another. As far as possible, a devotee is very cautious so that he does not do anything that could disrupt his wholesome condition. And that's why we learn in Nectar of Devotion and elsewhere the six items of surrender. It's also mentioned by Prabhupada in 1866. There are six items of surrender. The first one is to accept everything favorable for Krishna's service. And number two, to reject anything and everything unfavorable. And this is illustrated by Srimati Radharani in the final chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord Chaitanya is explaining the final Shikshastakam verse, and it's actually being spoken by Radharani, the purport. And Radharani says, if there's something that I like, but Krishna does not like it, I hate that thing. And if there's something that Krishna likes and I don't like, I like that thing for Krishna. And if there's something I like that Krishna doesn't like, I hate that thing. See Radharani's mentality. Fully surrendered to Krishna's, to pleasing Krishna's senses. So, the first two items of surrender. We accept everything favorable and we reject everything unfavorable. Let's continue. As far as possible, a devotee is very cautious so that he does not do anything that could disrupt his wholesome condition. Just like I've said many times, when devotees sometimes ask me an opinion, Prabhu, should I do this? Should I do this? Should I get this job? Should I go to this temple? Should I do this? Should I do this? I always respond, choose the decision that is going to help you in your hearing and chanting. If by moving to another job or another condition or by making a certain decision, it's going to decrease from your hearing and chanting, then don't do it. But if the decision you're making is going to increase your hearing and chanting, very good. It's on the basis of those two items of surrender. There are six items of surrender. So the first two, accepting everything favorable and rejecting what is not favorable. That's why there's rules and regulations. All right, let's continue with the purport. Welcome those who have come. Rasik Bhai, I have to make sure I see you. I have to see you. I want you to be comfortable, but make sure I see you. I'm so glad Kamlesh and family has come. Very nice. And Jai Krishna Das and Mrs. Jai Krishna Das, I'm glad you have also come. All we need now is Batuk, and we'll have a party. All right. Yeah, call him. All right. For those who've come, we're in the purport of chapter 9, verse 30. Okay, that's where we are. Chapter 9, verse 30, we're in the middle of the purport. As far as possible, a devotee is very cautious so that he does not do anything that could disrupt his wholesome condition. If you need light, maybe Arjuna could turn on the lights. Arjuna, so that everybody can see. Do you know where the light switch is, Arjuna? All right. Turn them all the way on so that everyone can see. Kamlesh, do you want a book? You just want to hear. Okay. All right. As far as possible, a devotee is very cautious so that he does not do anything that could disrupt his wholesome condition. He knows that perfection in his activities depends on his progressive realization of Krishna consciousness. That word, progressive. In other words, your spiritual life should not stagnate. You should always be seeing day by day that you're making further progress. If you're not noticing that, then you need to do some soul searching. You need to see, why am I not progressing? Why am I stuck in this rut? Or in worst case scenario, why am I falling down? Falling down is the worst. But staying in a rut is also not good. We want to be, every day we want to see that we're progressing. So a devotee becomes very introspective. That's why Kamlesh always preaches, study these books, right? That's the whole purpose. We want this knowledge so that we can take care of our own devotional creepers. Now, if necessary, then you consult somebody who you feel is more advanced, somebody who you have faith in, and take that person's opinion or advice. Just like this morning, Jaya Krishna Das asked me a particular question because he wanted clarification on a particular point. This is how you progress. We don't want to stagnate. We want to always be progressing. Let's go back to the purport. He knows that perfection in his activities depends on his progressive realization of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes, however, it may be seen that a person in Krishna consciousness commits some act which may be taken as most abominable socially or politically. But such a temporary, that's the key word, temporary fall down does not disqualify him. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that if a person falls down but is wholeheartedly engaged in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, the Lord, being situated within his heart, purifies him and excuses him from that abomination. The material contamination is so strong that even a yogi fully engaged in the service of the Lord sometimes becomes ensnared. But Krishna consciousness is so strong that such an occasional fall down is at once rectified. Therefore, the process of devotional service is always a success. No one should deride a devotee for some accidental fall down from the ideal path. For as explained in the next verse, such occasional fall downs will be stopped in due course as soon as a devotee is completely situated in Krishna consciousness. Just like your children. Say your child does something wrong. You don't reject the child. You correct the child, right? But you don't reject him. You want to correct the child, and you do it in such a way. Remember how Yashoda dealt with Krishna when Krishna broke the butter pot. First she showed the stick, but then she realized that's too much. So then she decided to tie him up. She had to administer some punishment, but not over the top. So with your children, sometimes it'll be necessary, except in the case of Hiran and Arjuna, I know they're perfect. They never make a mistake. But sometimes it so happens that your child will make a mistake. But you don't just reject him outright for one mistake. So Krishna's the same way. We may make a mistake, or as it says here, fall down. But Krishna does not reject us. And Prabhupada was asked this question by his disciples. What if the disciple breaks one of the regulative principles? Prabhupada says, one time you're excused. Two times you're excused. Three times you're excused. But if it becomes a habit, then you get punished. But you get punished by Krishna, not by Durga. The non-devotees, they are punished by Durga. She has those 10, right? She has the trident, she has different weapons in her hand. So that's for the conditioned soul who's not a devotee of Krishna. She takes care. But when you become a devotee, Durga does not deal with you. Krishna deals with you directly. So when you see such and such a devotee and things are happening, you should think, Krishna is dealing with the devotee now to rectify the devotee. And notice that Prabhupada emphasized here, no one should deride a devotee. We're not the judge. It's not that we're going to go around. No. Krishna will take care of everything. We mind our own business. Otherwise, we'll wind up in that same position. Okay, let's continue with the purport. Therefore, a person who is situated in Krishna consciousness and is engaged with determination in the process of chanting, everybody, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, should be considered to be in the transcendental position, even if by chance or accident he is found to have fallen. The words sadhur eva, because that's in today's verse. If you looked at the verse, sadhur eva samantavya, right? If you see the verse, that's where Prabhupada's getting this. Sadhur eva, he is saintly, is very emphatic. They are a warning to the non-devotees that because of an accidental fall down, a devotee should not be derided. He should still be considered saintly, even if he has accidentally fallen down. And the word mantavya is still more emphatic. What is the word for word meaning for mantavya in the verse? What's the synonym? Mantavya? To be considered. In other words, this is how everyone should think, mantavya. And the word mantavya is still more emphatic. If one does not follow this rule and derides a devotee for his accidental fall down, then one is disobeying the order of the Supreme Lord. The only qualification of a devotee is to be unflinchingly and exclusively engaged in devotional service. That's surrender. Here Prabhupada's giving another definition of what it means to be surrendered. Unflinchingly and exclusively engaged. In the Nisringa Purana, and we all celebrated Nisringa's appearance day, yes, on Monday, and in some places they did on Sunday. In the Nisringa Purana, the following statement is given. Bhagavati cha harav ananyacheta vrishamalinopi virajate manushya nahi shashakalusha Chavi kadachit timura parabhavatam upaiti chandra. The meaning is that even if one fully engaged in devotional service of the Lord is sometimes found engaged in abominable activities, these activities should be considered to be like the spots that resemble the mark of a rabbit on the moon. Such spots do not become an impediment to the diffusion of moonlight. Similarly, the accidental, so that's several times now, he's used the word accidental. He's not talking about purposeful. He's talking about accidental. The accidental fall down of a devotee from the path of saintly character does not make him abominable. Now Prabhupada is going to answer the other side of the coin. On the other hand, one should not misunderstand that a devotee in the transcendental devotional service can act in all kinds of abominable ways. This verse only refers to an accident due to the strong power of material connections. Devotional service is more or less a declaration of war against the illusory energy. So we are all warriors. We're at war. We're warriors. As long as one is not strong enough to fight the illusory energy, there may be accidental fall downs. But when one is strong enough, he is no longer subjected to such fall downs as previously explained. No one should take advantage of this verse and commit nonsense and think that he is still a devotee. That's the seventh offense. In the chanting, there are 10 offenses. The seventh offense is to think, it doesn't matter. I can do whatever I want. I'll just do some chanting and I'm okay. No. Prabhupada is emphasizing that. No one should take advantage of this verse and commit nonsense and think that he's still a devotee. If he does not improve in his character by devotional service, then it is to be understood that he is not a high devotee. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra one time, please. We're up to 14 devotees online. Very nice. And we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, almost 14 here. Jai. All right, let's do verse number 31. Are you all ready? Jai. Shipram bhavati dharmatma. Sashvachchantim nagachati. Kaunteya pratijanihi. Name bhakta pranashyati. So here is a famous line. Konteya pratijanihi. Name bhakta pranashyati. If anyone does not know Bhagavad Gita, everybody practically knows that verse. Everybody knows. It's such a famous verse. Let's look at the word for word. Kshipram. Very soon. Bhavati. Becomes. Dharma Atma. Righteous. Shashvat Shantim. Lasting peace. Nigachati. Attains. Kaunteya. O son of Kunti. Pratijanihi. Declare, na, never, may, my, bhakta, devotee, pranashyati, perishes. Please repeat. He quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly. That my devotee never perishes. So, Hiran, who would you give as an example of my devotee never perishes? Who would you give as an example? Arjuna, all right. Obviously. Somebody you might have heard about on Monday or Sunday? Huh? Prahlad. Right? How many times Hiranyakashipu tried to kill him? Too many times. Did anything happen to Prahlad? Nothing happened to Prahlad. Each and every time. And there's even one chapter in the Bhagavatam how Prahlad is the most exalted devotee. Such exalted devotee. Notice Krishna has Arjuna declaring it. Alright, purport. This should not be misunderstood. In the seventh chapter, the Lord says that one who is engaged in mischievous activities cannot become a devotee of the Lord. One who is not a devotee of the Lord has no good qualifications whatsoever. The question remains then, how can a person engaged in abominable activities, either by accident or by intention, be a pure devotee? This question may justly be raised. The miscreants, as stated in the seventh chapter, who never come to the devotional service of the Lord, have no good qualifications, as it is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, what verse in chapter 7 is Prabhupada referring to? Who knows the verse? Yes, chapter 7, verse 15. Let's all go there. Let's hold your place here. Let's all go to Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 15, and do the Sanskrit together. Namang duskritino mudha prabhajante naradama maya aparita jnana asuram bhavamas. And the translation? Who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not so. Who is the original founder Acharya of this verse? Haranyakashipu, exactly. He was the first demon in the universe. He was the first. So he is the founder Acharya of this do not surrender, right? Whenever Prahlad mentioned Lord Vishnu, he would get even more angry. That's why he wanted to kill his son. He wanted to kill Prahlad because Prahlad was favorable to the enemy. So that's a demon. A demon is someone who thinks the problem is God. Just like if you sometimes listen to radio or TV, sometimes you'll get these atheists and they'll say, the problem in the world, all the wars are caused because of religion. So their theory is, you do away with all religions, there'll be no wars. Which is crazy. Because it's not that religion is causing the war. The war is being caused because of lust, anger, and greed. Yes, but to blame, because their theory is that the atheists, because I've heard it, these atheists, they think they're so intelligent. We just do away with all religion, there'll be no more conflict in the world. That's craziness. The real reason wars are fought is economic. Everybody's trying to grab all the resources. Religion is just an excuse. But it's not the religion. Alright, let's continue. So we studied that 15th verse. Now, the other thing he's referring to, he says, okay, after that he says, have no good qualifications as is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a verse found in the fifth canto, spoken by Prahlad Maharaj. He's the author of that verse. That unless one is a devotee, he has no good qualifications. He may, in the estimation of the material world, be a good person. But according to Prahlad, if you're not a devotee, you don't have any good qualifications. Generally, a devotee who is engaged in the nine kinds of devotional activities is engaged in the process of cleansing all material contamination from the heart. He puts the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, and all sinful contaminations are naturally washed away. Continuous thinking of the Supreme Lord makes him pure by nature. According to the Vedas, there is a certain regulation that if one falls down from his exalted position, he has to undergo certain ritualistic processes to purify himself. What's that called? That's called prayaschitta, right? Atonement. Every religion has their... I remember when I was a Catholic, I would go to the priest and confess my sins. So the priest would bless me and say, okay, you have to say so many prayers. And depending on the seriousness, he may also recommend I have to do certain things as penance and atonement. So all religions have this thing. Let's continue. But here, there is no such condition because the purifying process is already there in the heart of a devotee due to his remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly. We also studied this same concept in the beginning of Nectar of Devotion many, many, many months ago when we started, that for a devotee there is no atonement. There is no need for prayaschitta because the process of Krishna consciousness is itself the ultimate atonement. So, if a devotee falls or slips, all you have to do is encourage the devotee, pick it up. Pick it up. From where you let, just get in there. So, when I'm asked this question by devotees, right? If you wake up one day and you realize, oh, I've fallen down, no problem. Begin to associate with devotees. Begin to hear and chant. Begin again to take prasadam. These processes, associating with devotees, chanting, reading the books, taking prasad, that's all you have to do. And if you stick with it, you'll be reinstated within no time. As this verse, shipram. What was the definition of shipram in this verse? Very soon. So always remember, there is no prayaschitta or atonement once you understand devotional service. This concept, it's not my opinion. This is the whole idea behind a Jamil. When you study sixth canto opens with this discussion. If you look at sixth canto of Bhagavatam, this is the first discussion, prayaschitta, because Parikshit points out to Shukadev, you know, people do atonement and then again they commit sinful activities. And he said it's just like the bathing of an elephant. You all know in India better than me. The elephant goes, takes a nice bath, and as soon as it gets out on the land, what does the elephant do? Puts dust back because he's uncomfortable. Right? So that's what the conditioned soul, who doesn't know about devotional service, he may atone for his sins, but right after, again, just like when I was a Catholic, I would go and confess the sins, but why I had to go back again next week to the priest? Because again I committed the same sin. Because the root wasn't dealt with. So before Shukadev does the katha of Ajamil, the first part of that chapter is all about atonement. And what does Shukadeva Goswami say? The root cause is transcendental knowledge and engagement in devotional service. That burns the sinful desires at the root. Anyone who's done gardening, when you have weeds, if you don't pull up the weeds by the root, within 1 week, those weeds are back again. I have lots of experience of this because my father had a nursery, and every weekend I had to go to the nursery and pull the weeds. And what did my father, when I was Hiran's age, Arjuna's age, every time my father would say, pull by the roots, pull by, it was like constantly, which means you got to get your fingers dirty, because it's so easy just to snap off the top. But my father would hammer that. No, Nikki, pull by the roots. You have to go in there, you break your neck, you come, at the end of the day, you're black, because you're constantly going in that dirt and pulling it out by the root. Little did I know, my father was my first spiritual master. Because that's Krishna consciousness. That's Krishna consciousness. When we do devotional service, we're pulling the sinful desires out by the root. That's why japa is so hard. Why is japa the most difficult thing? Because that's what's happening when you do japa. Because I know, people tell me, they have a hard time doing japa. It's for that reason. Because japa means you're going in there, and you're pulling it out by the root. What else makes japa hard? Okay, kirtan. Nobody has a problem with kirtan, right? Because the kirtan, you have all these devotees, and you're just getting swept in. Whereas japa, you gotta do it. Right? If there's a rip-roaring kirtan, you just get in there, and the leader is, you know, stirring it up, and you just get swept. It's easy. But japa, you gotta go in there and get it cranked up. It's not easy. Not easy. All these, you've heard, you know, all the young devotees, they're called the coolies, right? They'll do kirtan. Very few do japa. Very few. I know. Because it's the most difficult. It's the most difficult. Notice, you don't take a vow to read 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. That's not, when you get initiated, you're not taking a vow to read 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. You're not taking a vow to do kirtan. You're taking a vow to chant 16 rounds on japa beads. Ah. That's the vow you're taking, besides following the four regulative principles. But the vow you're making is every day 16 rounds on japa mala. It ain't easy. And you have to do it every day. It's not easy. And that's why, in the nectar of instruction, you'll read, Prabhupada says, so, if you strictly follow these four regulative principles and finish your 16 rounds every day, you are gradually elevated step by step to the Uttama Adhikari platform. There it is. Prabhupada's laying it out. Step by step. Some people say, oh, you chant for 30 years. No, it's not an automatic thing. It's not an audit. It's not a mechanical process. It's not mechanical. You've got to pull all those simple desires. That's why it's, like I always preach, quality time. You have to spend quality time with your japa, with Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Again? Yes, sir. After this purport. Yes, sir? Yeah, but doesn't mean anything. Lust is so strong, the material modes are so strong, can't help it. For instance, Prabhupada gives the example. Women know. Giving birth, is that a walk in the park? Huh? And in many cases, Prabhupada points out, when the woman is giving birth, she's cursing the husband. You did this to me! I hate you! It happens. Huh? After the child is born, year or two, let's have another child. She forgot all about. Prabhupada gives another example. In olden days, when someone would get a sexually transmitted disease, before they had penicillin and drugs, the treatment was very painful. They would use a hot iron rod on the genital to burn out the disease. Okay? Not a joke. But because the lust is so strong, the person again would get the disease. Because he couldn't control his senses. That's the key. That's why Shukadeva Goswami said, the problem with atonement is you haven't dealt with the real problem, which is the sinful desire. How do you, and so Shukadeva says, the only way to get rid of the sinful desire is with transcendental knowledge and devotional service. Otherwise, first opportunity, those lusty desire seeds will again pop up. And then after that, that's when he begins the story of Ajamya. After that. Alright, let's continue. Hari Bol, good to see you. This is my student. I gave him the name Krishna Book Das. Because he was very, just like we have Bhagavad Gita 1866 personified. So he was given the name Krishna Book. Well, 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 look who's here. Please come. I want to make sure I see you. We're having quite a... Come on in, please. Come on in. Very good. Is Tanya with you? And you came on your own? This is the sign of advancement on his own. Matt, beautiful, excellent. You have made advancement on your own. Very good. You're going to eat with me. We are going to sit next to you. You're going to take prasadam with me. Is there a book? Give Matthew a book. Krishna Book Das, you should have a book. No, no, we're on Bhagavad Gita. Is there no more Bhagavad Gita? No, no, Meena, that's your book. Any more? Okay. We're on 931. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 31. All right. So we're in the towards the end of the purport of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 31. Jai, Hare Krishna. And we have 16 devotees online. Hari Bol. All right. According to the Vedas, there is a certain regulation that if one falls down from his exalted position, he has to undergo certain ritualistic processes to purify himself. But here, there is no such condition, because the purifying process is already there in the heart of his devotee, due to his remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly. Therefore, the chanting of everybody... should be continued without stoppage. This will protect a devotee from accidental fall downs. By the way, this point that Prabhupada just made, after the whole Ajamil Katha in the Bhagavatam, there's a discussion about persons who knowingly commit sins on the strength of chanting. That discussion comes in. And it's within the purports. Various acharyas give their comment. What should a person do who is, say, addicted to a sinful activity? What should they do? And the answer is they should chant incessantly. Because by that incessant chanting, eventually they'll become free. That is there at the end of the Ajamil Katha. All right, and that's why Prabhupada is saying here, the chanting should be continued without stoppage. This will protect a devotee from all accidental fall downs. He will thus remain perpetually free from all material contaminations. So, Krishna Kumar, let's finish the chapter and then Meena can sing. How is that? I want to finish the chapter. All right? Good. All right. So we're getting to some really nectar verses here. This next verse is also one of the big Bhagavad Gita verses. Are you ready to proceed? Yeah. All right. Manghi parata viapasritya. Yepi su papa yonaya. Striyo vaishyas tata shudras. Te piyanti param gatim. Mam of me. He certainly. Partha. O son of Pritha. Who, give me another name for Pritha. Kunti. Viapasritya. Particularly taking shelter. Yea. Those who, api, also, su, are, papayonaya, born of a lower family. Why is these two words very dear to me? Yes, this is what Prabhupada called me. Papayonaya. I told you the story many times, right? Papayonaya. So whenever I think of this verse, oh yeah. Born of a lower family. Striya. Women. Vaishya. Mercantile people. Tata. Also. Shudra. Lower class men. Te. Api. Even they. Yanti. Go. Param. To the supreme. Gatim, destination. Please repeat. O son of Pritha, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas, or merchants, shudras, or workers, can attain the supreme destination. Purport. It is clearly declared. It is clearly declared here by the Supreme Lord that in devotional service there is no distinction between lower and higher classes of people. In the material conception of life, there are such divisions. But for a person engaged in the transcendental devotional service to the Lord, they are not. And this was also taught by Lord Chaitanya. Who did Lord Chaitanya want to hear from? Ramananda Roy. And he was Shudra. Lord Chaitanya was Brahmin. Since when does a Brahmin hear from a Shudra? Since when? At that time, why? Because Ramananda Roy had advanced devotional qualifications. Even though materially he was a who did Lord Chaitanya make the teacher of the holy name? A Muslim. Not a paka paka Hindu. He made the Muslim the teacher of the holy name. Lord Chaitanya changed the whole game. Rupa and Sanatan. They were originally South Indian Brahmins, but because they were working as ministers for the Muslim king, the Brahmin community kicked them out. And they even took on Muslim names, Dabir Khas, and Sakara Malik. But who did Lord Chaitanya make as his first Goswamis? Dabir Khas, Sakaram Rupa, and Sanatan. So Lord Chaitanya did all these things just to point out this first statement Prabhupada's making. In the material conception of life, there are such divisions. But for a person engaged in transcendental devotional service to the Lord, there are not. Just like I just got finished saying, what did Prabhupada call me? And look who's giving the class. The Papa Yonaya is giving the class. Because, yes, Krishna consciousness is not based on material considerations. You see, it's all based on spiritual, transcendental considerations. Let's continue. Everyone is eligible for the supreme destination. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that even the lowest, who are also called chandalas or dog eaters, can be purified by the association of a pure devotee. Therefore, devotional servants, here it is, very important sentence. Therefore, devotional servants and the guidance of a pure devotee are so strong that there is no discrimination between the lower and higher classes of men. Anyone can take to it. That's how Lord Chaitanya started the Sankirtan movement. In Navadvip, who accepted Lord Chaitanya's chanting? It was the low-class people, not the Brahmins and the scholars. No. Lord Chaitanya's first followers in Navadvip were all the low-class people. And that was the objection when the smarter Brahmins went to Chandkazi. That was one of the arguments they gave. They said, Chandkazi, Lord Chaitanya is giving this Maha Mantra to the low class people, therefore the mantra is going to lose its value. Who can tell me the problem with that? What is the problem with that statement? Was he right? How is he wrong? Yes, he's thinking the Maha Mantra is a material sound vibration. No, it's the same point that's being driven here. Just because the low class people doesn't mean that the Maha Mantra now is losing its value. All right, let's continue. So this sentence is very important. Therefore, devotional service and the guidance of a pure devotee are so strong that there is no discrimination between the lower and higher classes of men. Anyone can take to it. Who were Prabhupada's first disciples? Hippies. Hippies. And they were considered lowest of the low back then. I know. I was one. All right? People would make fun of you. They'd spit. Whatever. Okay, let's continue. The most simple man taking shelter of the pure devotee can be purified by proper guidance. According to the different modes of material nature, men are classified in the mode of goodness, Brahmins, the mode of passion, Kshatriyas, or administrators, the mixed modes of passion and ignorance, Vaishyas, or merchants, and the mode of ignorance, Sudras, or workers. Those lower than them are called chandalas, and they are born in sinful families. Generally, the association of those born in sinful families is not accepted by the higher classes. But the process of devotional service is so strong that the pure devotee of the Supreme Lord can enable people of all the lower classes to attain the highest perfection of life. Here is how Prabhupada proved that he was a Mahabhagavat. He proved it. Because out of the hippies and the low class people, he created Brahmins and Vaishnavas. And when he went back to India in the early 70s, he brought his dancing white elephants. And the people of India were startled. Westerners are dancing and chanting a Maha Mantra and they can give a class on Bhagavad Gita. They were like, what? And when Prabhupada was asked, can you do any miracles? right? Because Jesus did miracles, and different Babas, they do miracles. Prabhupada said, look around you. This is my miracles. That I've made these Malechas and Yavanas and Papayonayas into Brahmins and Vaishnavas. That's my miracle. Prabhupada proved it. It wasn't, Gandhi wanted to rubber stamp Harijan. But they weren't Harijan. They were doing all kinds of sinful activities. But he wanted to rubber stamp. Oh, they're Harijan. No. Prabhupada actually made Harijan. That's why it's not cheap. They had to chant, follow the principles, get up from Mangalarti, worship the deity, go out for street sankirtan, distribute books. Yes, Prabhupada proved it. Let's continue. But the process of devotional service is so strong that the pure devotee of the Supreme Lord can enable people of all the lower classes to attain the highest perfection of life. This is possible only when one takes shelter of Krishna, as indicated here by the word vyapasritya. One has to take shelter completely of Krishna. I think that's called what, Kamlesh? Surrender. That's surrender. You've heard me say many times, surrender means to take shelter. It's a synonym. Then one can become much greater than the Gyanis and the Yogis. Okay, we got two more verses, and we'll finish the chapter, and we'll be halfway through Bhagavad Gita. Hari bol, hari bol. Hari bol, hari bol. Jai. I'm fired up because it's my birthday. That's why I'm fired up. Kim punar brahmana punya bhakta rajar sayastata. Where are you going? Okay. Anityam asukam lokam imang prapya bhajasvamam. Kim, how much? Puna, again. So that's city in India, Pune, is it coming from this word? Huh? Brahmana, Brahmanas. Punya, righteous. Vakta, devotees. Raja Rishayaha, saintly kings. Arjuna, give me an example of a saintly king. Here on? Give me an example of a saintly king. Dhruva's dad. Dhruva's dad, good. Kamlesh? Bharat? How about Arjun? Is Arjun a saintly king? Yudhisthir? Janak? Yeah. Prahlad? Pariksit? Very good. There's so many examples in Bhagavatam. That's why I was thinking, Arjun, I called you, would think of your name. Right? Okay, let's continue. Tata, also, anityam, temporary, asukam, full of miseries, lokam, planet, imam, this, prapya, gaining, bhajasva, be engaged in loving service. Mam, unto me. Where is Mahesh? I don't see my friend Mahesh. I want to see your lotus face, Mahesh. So come and change your place so I can see your lotus face because your name is Mahesh. I'm rapping. All right. Translation, please repeat. How much more this is so of the righteous brahmanas, the devotees, and the saintly kings. What's Krishna referring to? How much more this is so? What's he talking about? I don't understand. What's he saying? What is the context of how much more this is so? What's he referring to? Look at the previous verse. It'll tell you. Nobody knows? Look at the previous verse. What is the previous verse talking about? Okay, what happens if they take shelter? What does it say? What does that mean? Yes. So Krishna is saying, so if it's true for them, what to speak of the higher class? If they what? Take shelter of him. That's the context. This is how you have to read. When I do private programs with the Garmakar family, what do I stress? Understand what you're reading. Not just reading. You should understand the context. Don't just read. What does he mean? How much? What does that refer to? This is called critical reading. That's how you have to read Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada's books you don't read like any other book you ever read in your life. You have to study Prabhupada's books very carefully. And don't go to the next sentence until you understand what you're reading now. All right, let's go. Please repeat. How much more this is so? Of the righteous Brahmins, the devotees, and the saintly kings. Therefore, having come to this temporary miserable world, engage in loving service unto me. So this is a commandment. In the Bible, they have the Ten Commandments. Here is one of Krishna's commandments. Engage in loving service unto me. All right? Now, think. Everybody look at what you just read. Okay? I want you to think. If somebody was to say to you, oh, I like it here in Placentia, what will you say now? According to the verse, what will you say to somebody if they say, oh, I like it here, I want to come back and take birth again? That's all? Oh, you missed the big word. It's miserable. Get a clue. Why would you want to come back to more misery? Does anybody do that? Who? Everybody's trying to do better in the world, right? But Krishna is saying, hello, wake up. You may think, just like, okay, if we were to go to Beverly Hills right now, right? If we were to go to Brentwood, right? And we were to tell them, we knock on the door, sir, do you realize that Brentwood is a temporary, miserable place? What will they do? They'll call the dog, they'll pull the gun, or they'll call the police, right? Because they think, ha, I'm in Beverly Hills, right? But Krishna is saying, buddy, it's a miserable place. Okay, how many people are going on vacation to Baghdad? Anybody? Anybody want to, is anybody planning a summer vacation? Honey, let's go to Baghdad. Or how about Beirut? Let's go for a nice vacation where there's bombs and terrorists. Let's go to Islamabad. Let's go. Honey, come on. Get the tickets. Is anybody doing that? How many people want to take a vacation to South Central LA? Let's go. Right? No. Everybody wants to go to some Hawaii. Right? Some nice place. Right? But Krishna is saying, this material world is miserable. Get out. Get out. Because you may think it's nice here, but it's a temporary, miserable place. And what should you do? What's the commandment? Right. Let's look at the purport. In the material world, there are classifications of people, but after all, this world is not a happy place for anyone, Donald Trump. It is clearly stated here, anityam asukam lokam. This world is temporary and full of miseries, not habitable for any sane gentleman. That's what Prabhupada learned from Bhakti Siddhanta. That was a typical quote of Bhakti Siddhanta. He would say that this world is not fit for a gentleman. Okay. This world is declared by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be temporary and full of miseries. Some philosophers, especially Mayavadi philosophers, say that this world is false. But we can understand from Bhagavad Gita that the world is not false, it is temporary. Right? When the dentist 2 years ago was drilling and screwing and hammering the implants in my teeth, I was experiencing misery. And I wasn't thinking this is false. It was real misery. Alright? And I was screaming, Hare Krishna! Right? But it was temporary. Now it's okay. But when I was in that dentist chair for 12 hours and he was screwing and drilling and hammering, no joke. Therefore, take care of your teeth, kids. Take care of your teeth. All right, let's continue. There is a difference between temporary and false. This world is temporary, but there is another world which is eternal. Where is that world? Vaikuntha. Very good. This world is miserable, but the other world is eternal and blissful. Arjuna was born in a saintly royal family. To him also the Lord says, take to my devotional service and come quickly back to Godhead, back home. Notice the word back. Back means you were once there. You can't go back to some place you never were. I can't say, oh, I'm going back to Australia. Really? When were you in Australia? In a previous life? No. I could say I want to go back to New York because I was there. I was born in New York City. I could say that. But to say to go, I'm going to go back to Alaska. What? People would say, I know you never were in Alaska. How can you go back to Alaska? That means you're going to walk backwards? No. Back means you were originally there. So that's key. Prabhupada is very insistent. We were in the spiritual world with Krishna. Now we're here, we're going to go back home. He uses that term. Back is right here. Back home, back to Godhead. Home is where you come from. Alright? And he's not talking about India. Back home, back to Godhead. Or as Meena said, Vaikuntha. Right? This material world is kunta, anxiety. Just ask Maria Shriver. All right? Now she's in anxiety. But in the spiritual world, there's no anxiety. No one should remain in this temporary world full as it is with miseries. Everyone should attach himself to the bosom of the Supreme Personality of God. Where is the bosom? Where is the bosom? Huh? The chest. The bosom is the chest. So, in order for there to be a bosom, that means God has to be what? Person with a body. Right? You can't be, there's no such thing as bosom of the Brahman. It can't be. Krishna has a body, has a chest. When the husband or the wife embrace, right? It's on the chest. So, this is a very nice description. Everyone should attach himself to the bosom. When Krishna embraced Sudama, it was bosom to bosom, chest to chest. You know the story. When Sudama came to see Krishna, right? They embraced. Everyone should attach himself to the bosom of the Supreme Personality of Godhead so that he can be eternally happy. The devotional service of the Supreme Lord is the only process by which all problems of all classes of men can be solved. Word, most important word, only. Alright? Everyone should therefore take to Krishna consciousness and make his life perfect. Are you ready for the final verse? The midway verse? Now, Kamlesh will confirm. Where this next verse, 34, where else does it show up? Where, tell us, Rama. Chapter 18. Very good. Just before what verse, Kamlesh? Just before Sarvadam Mantra. Exactly. Just before. They go together. There are two sides of the same coin. Here it is. So, if something, there's only another verse that's repeated twice. Manusha Partha Sarvasha. So, this verse repeated twice, big. It's in bold letters, highlight. It's got neon lights flashing all around. Hello, this is the verse. Tune in, this is the ding, ding, ding verse. Please repeat. Manmana Bhava Madbhakto. Madhyaji Mam Namaskaru. Mami Vaishyasi Yukvaivam. Atmanam Matparayana. Synonyms. Matmana. Always thinking of me. Bhava. Become. Mat. My. Bhakta. Devotee. One point here. Somebody, not you guys, but somebody may say, see, you have to become a devotee. So that means you weren't a devotee. No. Because that's their logic. But we learned from Lord Chaitanya, and I've been saying it, we were originally with Krishna. Yes, you heard me say that? So that means you are originally a devotee. But now, I may not be acting as a devotee. So that's the idea of bhava. You may not be acting as a devotee now. Now act, Krishna saying, now act like a devotee. Become a devotee. Just like, I'll give you another example. So, I may say, okay, Hiran, I want you to be the mridanga player for the kirtan. Right? That means you're going to act in that role. Alright, so that's the context here. Becoming, not that you weren't a devotee and now you're becoming for the first time. No, originally the soul is a devotee. Alright, otherwise how can you be originally with Krishna in the spiritual world? You can't be a non-devotee in the spiritual world. If we're saying back home, back to Godhead, and if we're saying, we said at the beginning of the class, that the constitutional, the very first, most of you weren't here, but the opening purport was about the constitutional position is devotional service, then that means originally we were all devotees. Alright, let's continue. Bhakta, devotee. Mat, my. Yaji, worshipper. Mam, unto me. Namaskuru, offer obeisances. Mam, unto me. Eva, certainly. Oh, excuse me, I made a mistake. What's my mistake? Completely. Aishyasi, you will come. Yukva, being absorbed. Evam, thus. Atmanam, your soul. Matparayana, devoted to me. Please repeat, engage your mind. Always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances to me. And worship me. Being completely absorbed in me. Surely you will come to me. So, an athlete, right? Right now there's the basketball playoffs. So the basketball players are using this verse, become completely absorbed in basketball. That's how they preach. They're preaching. Become one with the basketball. And make millions of dollars. And win glory. Right? In any field of material world, they use this same philosophy. When I was working in the material world as a bookkeeper. I remember after a few weeks, my direct boss, he was saying, so, if you want to, you know, make it, then you have to start reading all these books and magazines about finance. And I was saying, I don't want to, I'm not going to, look, 8 hours is enough here. I'm not going to, like, now become a, you know, because in the place where I was working, many of the people in that office used to work for Disney. And they would tell me, because they were exit, they said, when you work for Disney, it's like you're in a cult. They make you become completely absorbed in Disney consciousness. Unless that, otherwise you can't advance. That's the material world. And if you want to make it really in the material world, you have to become a pure devotee of that thing. Whether it's just like every year, we would be audited, right? The company would be audited, and I would have to deal with the auditors. It was Deloitte and Touche was the auditing company. And I would, you know, talk and ask them different things. And one of the guys said, yeah, in order to get more clients on the weekends, we have to play golf and go to parties and this. So their whole life becomes their job. Yes, you have to, and you want to make it, you have to show, I am a surrendered soul to IBM or whoever, right? Donald Trump's program, right? They're all trying to become, right? And he's looking for who's going to become my pure Trump devotee. Who will go the extra mile? If you want to make it in the material world, that's what it takes. Whether it be, like I remember when I was trying to become a famous musician. Then you have to be willing to do anything at any time. Sell your soul. My son-in-law, before he became a devotee, he was also dabbling in different things with the entertainment industry. And he said, practically speaking, you have to become a dog. And you have to completely be willing to do anything. Sell your body, practically. Become a prostitute, practically, in order to make it. And they want it. Everybody, all these big corporations, they want you to mom a cum. That's what they want. They want mom a cum. I will surrender to Starbucks. But Krishna is saying no. So if you want to become a devotee of Krishna, here is what you have to do. Purport. In this verse, it is clearly indicated that Krishna consciousness is the only means of being delivered from the clutches of this contaminated material world. Where in chapter 7 is that confirmed? Where, I've mentioned this a billion times. What Prabhupada just said in the purport, where is that in chapter 7, Rama? You should know. If anybody knows, you should know. Read it again. What is the first sentence of the purport? Ha! There's the verse 7:14. I pointed it out 500,000 times. Daivyesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mam eviye prapajante mayam etam tarantite. And I've told you, that's one verse you should all memorize. 7:14. It's fundamental. It's number 2 next to Sarvadharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. Because they're saying the same thing. Different words. Let's continue. Sometimes unscrupulous commentators distort the meaning of what is clearly stated here, that all devotional service should be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Unfortunately, unscrupulous commentators divert the mind of the reader to that which is not at all feasible. Such commentators do not know that there is no difference between Krishna's mind and Krishna. Krishna is not an ordinary human being. He is the absolute truth. His body, his mind, and He Himself are one and absolute. It is stated in the Kurma Puran, as is quoted by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami in his Anubhashya comments on Chaitanya Charitamrita, Deha Dehi Vibhido Yam Nishvare Vidyate Kvachit. This means that there is no difference in Krishna, the Supreme Lord, between Himself and His body. But because the commentators do not know this science of Krishna, they hide Krishna and divide His personality from His mind or from His body. Although this is sheer ignorance of the science of Krishna, some men make profit out of misleading people. You've heard me tell the story many times. It's in Krishna book. When Krishna was in Dwaraka, what would Krishna do as soon as the roosters would make their sound? Get up, and what did he do? Meditate on? Why? Yeah, so that means we should get up and meditate on ourselves? Why is he meditating on himself? What's that? He's the absolute truth. This is an important point. This is why we don't do soham. We're not the absolute truth. Krishna has no choice. Meditation means meditation on absolute truth. For Krishna, He is the absolute truth. What, you want Krishna to meditate on something other than Himself? You want Krishna to meditate on illusion? So, the idea is, we meditate on the absolute truth. For Krishna, it happens to be Him. Therefore, we don't imitate Krishna by meditating on ourselves. We meditate on Krishna, or Radha and Krishna. That's the whole idea of Mangal Arti. You get up early in the morning, you come to the temple, you see the deities. Or, you immediately pick up your beads, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Or, you immediately open up what book, Kamlesh? Bhagavad Gita. But your mind should be fixed on Krishna. Meditation on the absolute truth. Let's continue. There are some who are demonic. They also think of Krishna, but enviously, just like King Kamsa, Krishna's uncle. He was also thinking of Krishna always, but he thought of Krishna as his enemy. He was always in anxiety, wondering when Krishna would come to kill him. Which one of the boys can tell me why was Kamsa always thinking that Krishna would come to kill him? Why? What happened? Yes, he heard the voice in the sky. Kamsa, you fool! The eighth child of your sister will kill you. That's why. Yeah. He got the notice. That kind of thinking will not help us. One should be thinking Krishna in devotional love. That is bhakti. One should cultivate the knowledge of Krishna continuously. What is that favorable cultivation? It is to learn from a bona fide teacher. Kamlesh, who's the best teacher? Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. What is the favorable cultivation? It is to learn from a bona fide teacher. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we have several times explained that His body is not material, but is eternal, blissful knowledge. This kind of talk about Krishna will help one become a devotee. Understanding Krishna otherwise from the wrong source will prove fruitless. That's why there's the expression, milk touched by the lips of a serpent. We don't want to hear about Krishna from Mayavadis or politicians or nincompoops or knuckleheads. We want to hear about Krishna from nice, pure devotees. One should therefore engage his mind in the eternal form, the primal form. What's the primal form of Krishna? Two-handed. That's the primal form. Because in 11th chapter, what is our, after seeing the universal form, Arjuna says, all right, take it away. I don't want to see this anymore. So then Krishna shows his forearm form. Then he shows his original two-arm form. Saumya Vapyu, the dearmost. Okay. With conviction in his heart that Krishna is the supreme, he should engage himself in worship. There are hundreds of thousands of temples in India for the worship of Krishna, and devotional service is practiced there. When such practice is made, one has to offer obeisances to Krishna. One should lower his head before the deity and engage his mind, his bodies, his activities, everything. That will make one fully absorbed in Krishna without deviation. This will help one transfer to the Krishna Loka. One should not be deviated by unscrupulous commentators. One must engage in the 9 different processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting about Krishna. You've heard me say that 1 billion times. Pure devotional service is the highest achievement of human society. One point before we continue. You may get this question from somebody. Why I have to bow down? Is Krishna some kind of megalomaniac that he wants everyone to bow down to him? What's the answer? Why do we bow down to Krishna? Not bad. Good. Not bad. But there's a better reason. Better reason. What's that? Better. These are good. These are good. But there's a better reason that anyone, because someone would say, no, I don't want to do that. But there's a better reason. What's the better reason? What's the best reason? Not bad. You're getting closer. No, the answer is... Surrender. The answer is... It's in your best interest. Is that what you were going to say, Arjuna? Why didn't you say it? I would have given you extra points. It's in your best interest. That's why. It's not that whether we surrender or not, you think Krishna cares? Who does Krishna have always? Radharani. If Donald Trump or Obama, anybody doesn't surrender, it's not that Krishna is like, oh, I wish he would surrender to me. Krishna could care less. But Krishna knows that for your best interest, it's in your best interest to surrender. Boys, when your parents tell you to do something, it's not that they're being mean. They're telling you to do these things because it's in your best interest. You may not think so. Why? Why? Right? That's a kid's, why? I don't want to. Why? But that's my job, to tell the kids, especially when you have devotee parents, and all you kids have, if your parent was Hiranyakashipu, then I would agree. You don't have to do what he says. But your parents are devotee parents. So you have to do what they say, otherwise somebody is not going to be happy. Who's that? Krishna. So if you want Krishna's blessings and you have a devotee parent, you got to do what the devotee parent tells you. Otherwise, Krishna is not going to bless you. Do you all understand that? And the parents love me now, right? Right? Yes, I am the best in ISKCON. I know. All right, let's finish up the purport. Nice to see you. Hari Bol. Gaur Prem Das. Very good. Krishna Bhukdas, you're enjoying? Good. Mr. Matthew, are you enjoying it? Jai. Good answer. The 7th and 8th chapters of Bhagavad Gita have explained pure devotional service to the Lord that is free from speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, and fruitive activities. Those who are not purely sanctified may be attracted by different features of the Lord, like the impersonal Brahma Jyoti and localized Paramatma. But a pure devotee directly takes to the service of the Supreme Lord. There is a beautiful poem about Krishna in which it is clearly stated that any person who is engaged in the worship of demigods is most unintelligent and cannot achieve at any time the supreme award of Krishna. The devotee in the beginning may sometimes fall from the standard, but still he should be considered superior to all other philosophers and yogis. One who always engages in Krishna consciousness should be understood to be a perfectly saintly person. His accidental, non-devotional activities will diminish, and he will soon be situated without any doubt in complete perfection. The pure devotee has no actual chance to fall down because the Supreme Godhead personally takes care of his pure devotees. In the 11th canto, Krishna speaks on this point. You know you're a pure devotee, according to the 11th canto, the Uddhava Gita, because sinful desires never enter your mind. That's when you know you're a pure devotee. So, if you're still getting some sinful desires in your mind, keep on chanting, because it means you're not there yet. Because according to the Uddhava Gita, when you're a pure devotee, you don't even ever think of a sinful activity. It never comes to your mind. All right. Therefore, the intelligent person should take directly to the process of Krishna consciousness and happily live in this material world. He will eventually receive the supreme award of Krishna. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 9th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of the most confidential knowledge. Krishna Kumar, we have reached midway point. Very nice. 9 years? Really? We started in 2002? All right. Did many things. Yeah, we did lots. All right. So, Meena, the temple president here wants you to sing. Is anyone doing the offering? Who's doing the offering? The microphone is there, Meena. We're up to 21 devotees online. Let's see where they're coming from.